Financial Survival Network, helping you to survive and thrive in the new economy. Get our complimentary newsletter at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. This is the Financial Survival Network.
You are listening to the financialsurvivalnetwork.com. I'm Kerry Lutz on 1230 WBZT. It is October 1st, which means it's time for Mickey Fulp's Major Market Review. Mickey's with us now. Mickey, how are you?
I'm doing well. The Fed's made some news this month, and although it's not in September, the U.S. government made big news today. It shut down 1 million government employees are on unpaid leave. All I can say is yippee, and I hope we can increase that by an order of magnitude.
Well, I would argue that normally most of them are on paid leave when they show up every day, right?
I would second that motion. And interestingly enough, with the government shutting down today, stocks go up, commodities go down, and the dollar's flat, and treasuries tank. So who knows?
I wish I could come up with an explanation for it all. And all I know is that perhaps somebody up there on the Hill has read the Founding Fathers, took Jefferson's admonition to heart that the government which governs least is that which governs best, and they know they can't do it any other way, so they're going to do it this way, and a shutdown is perhaps the best way to bring about that wisdom.
Well, we could only hope, but in the meantime, the Fed keeps building the major market bubble with its very mixed signals over the last month. Both the Dow and S&P 500 hit all-time highs again at mid-month. Now, they have come off somewhat, but they were both up once again over the month. The NASDAQ has been very strong, up 5% over the month. And, you know, it's actually creeping up on that dot-com spike of Q1 of year 2000. The Russell 2000 hit another all-time high. That's becoming a monthly occurrence, it seems. Meanwhile, the commodities-based Toronto Stock Index was a little stronger. The Venture Exchange had a flat month, but it was up on the quarter, but is still down, carry 23% for the year. And finally, in our market indices, the Emerging Markets Index was up 6% on the month, presumably because the touchy-feely emotions about China were a little better.
Yeah, they finally got a break on the Emerging Markets Index. It hasn't been doing real well. And yeah, I think you're right. It's kind of getting that bubble-ish feel to it all, the market. I mean, Martin Armstrong, who appeared at the Liberty Mastermind Symposium via Skype, recently predicted that by 2015, the Dow would double, would hit 32,000. And to him, the pivotal month is October, when if it breaks 16,000, that seems to be the mark. I don't know. I'm not smart enough to ever predict the direction of the market, except that when I put money into it, it generally tends to go in the opposite direction. So I'll just leave it at that. Then we
Kerry, you should just leave your money out of the markets then. So.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like the casino. If I stay away, then I'm that much further ahead. But then we go to the metals. They seem to have reversed course during the quarter.
Well, what's really happened, the precious metals ended up down for the month. I think that's really dependent on the Fed's machinations as we went through the month. By mid-month, the price of gold was well over $1,400. Price of silver was $2,450 or thereabouts. But Then we had more mixed signals from the Fed, and they all came crashing down for the month. All precious metals were down, but interestingly enough, palladium seems to have divorced itself, or perhaps we should just say separated at this point from platinum. Platinum was down almost 7% for the month, and palladium was flat. So perhaps we're seeing the difference between platinum as more of a precious metal and palladium more of a necessary metal for automobile catalysts. I'm not really sure. The gold to silver ratio went as low as 55. It's back up to 61 over the month. Platinum to gold ratio still above one, which we want and expect it to be. The platinum-palladium ratio was showing this separation is again below 2. And finally, our new kid on the block, the gold to WTI ratio, still buys you an ounce of gold, still buys you 13 barrels of oil. So what else is new? Copper is stronger over the month, hit 330, which was at least a one-week high. But it's still within our range, and I will set our range at $3 to $3.50. And it's been range-bound for quite some time right now. But I think we're very happy with that.
Yeah, it's been in that range for a good 6 months now and kind of going back and forth. And then, of course, we get to the energies, which is reflected in that new ratio. So I'll let you talk about WTI and Brent.
Yes. Before we do that, I'll have one more thing to say about commodities. The CRB, which is probably the most respected commodities index, was up 8% for the quarter, and that was quite robust. Now to the energy sector. Both WTI and Brent oil were down for the month. I think that has all to do with Syria and nothing more. Obama got his bluff called about Syria by Putin, and no one wanted to get on board. I say yippee on that too. But it's interesting, there's some geopolitical ramifications to what transpired over the month. And I think that has, for us in the U.S., has to do with this. When Obama could not generate support for bombing Syria, he backed down, his bluff was called, and he punted to Congress. So he gave Congress a power it hasn't had since Eisenhower and the Korean War, and it's now up to Congress to declare war, and we're back to the Constitution, and we are very happy about that. Meanwhile, Henry Hub made a rally over the month, but it's up 5%, but it's still less than $4. Our ratios, Brent to WTI, the normal 1.1, WTI to Henry Hub has gone lower, down to 27. And finally, we come to uranium. It came off its low of $34. Spot price is $35.25. No one makes money with operating costs exceeding that generally. Only companies with long-term contracts are making money in the uranium business right now.
Yeah, it's tough going out there, tough sledding, and thank you, U.S. government, for that. You bring so much happiness to so many people, and maybe with a million people out on the street, they'll be worrying about something else besides uranium prices, right?
Well, I don't know. The Japanese government is still a mess. Fukushima is even more a mess. There's been some calls for TEPCO, the Tokyo Electric Power Company. There has just been rampant mismanagement and cover-ups and corruption involved in the cleanup of Fukushima. It appears at some point they may just have to punt to the U.S. government to clean up this mess. But in the meantime, it certainly has affected the cost of uranium.
And I have a question for you on that, Mickey. Can something be done to stop the flow of radioactive water into the Pacific Ocean that hasn't already been done? Because if something could be done, wouldn't the world have united and just taken this project over from TEPCO and the Japanese government?
The ultimate outcome, but there's been some cover-ups on that. So that's still playing out. So I will punt on that direct question until I can do some research. But what I would suggest is perhaps we have a mid-month interview where we can address some of these energy issues. We haven't talked about natural gas and oil and uranium in detail for a while, so perhaps we should do a mid-month energy interview, and by that time I will know a lot more about what I'm talking about than I do right now.
Now we're on to currencies, Mickey, and there's been a little bit of meaningful movement after quite some period of stagnation, right?
Well, yeah, and so the U.S. dollar index was down 2.5%, and surprise, surprise, the euro was up 2.5% on the month. So once again, those two things march in lockstep, or contrarian lockstep, let's say. 10-year treasuries actually took a 5% hit on interest rates over the month. Still up 5% over the quarter, but I would say that the wishy-washiness of the Fed is playing havoc with Lindsey Hall and her short position right now.
That's for sure. But what's interesting is that we've got a new Fed chairman or chairwoman coming in. We saw Lawrence Summers get torpedoed his nomination.
Hear, hear.
No one was very upset about it, least of all you and I. But the person that comes in, how much different is that person really going to be in terms of direction and course? Probably not much. Just won't have the rap sheet that Lawrence Summers had.
Or the rap sheet of Ben Bernanke.
Yeah. So they'll have a lesser one, but it won't take them long to accumulate the crimes and misdemeanors and felonies that the other two had. But
I didn't.
But you thought it. You definitely thought it. And
oh, you're going to be the thought police on me now.
Yeah, well,
1984.
But you know, on certain things, you and I are of one mind. But let's face it. One thing that did happen during the month is that they said, oh, we're not going to taper, at least until December and maybe afterwards. And I don't know what your sentiment was on it, but I never really believed that the tapering was going to take place, at least not during this pivotal time when there's a transition from one Fed chief to the new Fed chief. Because there is a bit of preference towards consistency, at least at the outset of that event taking place.
Okay.
All right. On that note, we'll definitely get together mid-month, find out more about the energy situation, what's really happening in Japan, and we'll talk more about where natural gas and WTI are heading, and try to get some idea of production numbers, because I don't know if you've noticed what's happening in North Dakota and Texas, but those numbers have gone way, way up in the past 18 months.
Well, certainly I am aware of that, and North Dakota is the place to be right now. I know that for oil.
Absolutely, and they've got another play coming on pretty strong in Texas, the Permian Basin, that they say is going to eclipse the Eagle Shell formation by many times. So these are interesting times for energy, and we're going to see what that's going to do to the price in the upcoming upcoming months ahead.
Okay, Kerry.
All right, Mickey. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye.
The Financial Survival Network, helping you to survive and thrive in the new economy. Get our complimentary newsletter at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. This is the Financial Survival Network.